He served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. That's right, it's time for the David Carrier Show, and you have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So if you have a question, a comment, or concern, an opinion, a viewpoint, or promise regarding wills, trusts, or probate, what are those wills about? Is probate court really as bad as they say? Oh, it's worse. Find out. Give us a shout at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. And if you're one of those people who's into anagrams and stuff like that, you will notice that 888-463-2843 spells out 888-GO-DAVID. Marketing brilliance on display. Anyway, 888-GO-DAVID, that's the number to call. I'll get you right here to the studio, and we'll get your question on the air, or you can email me, david@davidcarrierlaw.com, or you can go to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, and right there on the website, you can even leave us a message there. See, if we could make it easier, we'd do it. You can also call that 888-GO-DAVID number anytime you like, during the week, what have you. And it goes right to the office. Now, I don't know about you. I hate talking to machines. You know those phone trees? Give me a headache. Anyway, you know how when you call up, dial 1 for, you know, whatever. Dial 2, you know, first to number 2. And, you know, and I still have a rotary phone. So what am I supposed to do? Wait, that's what. Anyway, if you want to call the office, if you call that number, that's the one time when the live person won't pick up. But if you hit 1... then it'll ring to the live person, and you can talk them right away. Or you can hit 2 and maintain your anonymity, and just leave us a message. No heavy breathing. Thank you very much. Anyway, this is Thanksgiving week, and you know when we first started talking about the Black Friday workshops, that seemed like a long time ago, right? That was even before Halloween, and we still have a couple of seats left. At least that's what couple of seats left in one of the Thanksgiving of the Black Friday workshops. I think there's a couple of seats left in the Saturday workshop. So if you got the kiddies in town and you hey, are the Lions going to win this year or not? I don't know. But anyway, if you don't want to watch the Lions, then you can come on down on. No, that's Thanksgiving anyway. See. So get over watching the Lions win or lose, depending on your point of view, whether that's a good or bad thing, and come to a life plan workshop and find out how to get the rest of your life taken care of. And again, 888-463-2843 is the number to call if you'd like to do that. You know, now that we're in Thanksgiving week, it's always a good time. I think it's just a kind of a neat thing that we do have Thanksgiving, because it does... You know, before Christmas and all that, you know, there's all that commercialism and what have you. But what I like about Thanksgiving, it really does give you sort of that, I suppose we always have the opportunity to be grateful. I mean, that's for sure. You always have the opportunity, but how often do you take advantage of it? And it really is a good opportunity, really sort of a reminder to us to kind of look around and be grateful for what we have. surveying the national political scene, that may be a little tough to maintain that attitude of gratitude. So focus on your relationships at home. I was listening to a radio talk show where the guest was talking about be a therapist for your family. So when you go home, you know, it was all. See, here's the thing. I hear all this stuff about how Thanksgiving is such a minefield, you know, and it's difficult, and people have all this trauma around Thanksgiving, and it's so difficult, na-na-na-na-na. And I have to say, I have a hard time relating to that. I'm thinking back. Even I can think of a couple of Thanksgivings that weren't particularly wonderful, but I mean, most of them, you know, like with you know, my siblings and whatnot. I mean, it just seemed like it was just a good time. You know, they warn you about the Scrooge in the corner who grumps at the kids. It's like, okay, I don't remember somebody like, well, the ex-mother-in-law, I suppose. But anyway, you know, kind of unusual, really, to see that kind of behavior. You know, most of the time it was a pretty positive experience. And I wonder if sometimes that isn't a little bit overdone. You know what I mean? I mean, where people, oh, you know, everyone comes home, they fight in. Well, you know, they make movies about that. I think it was Chekhov, you know, the Russian poet who said that, how did it go? Happy families are boring because they're all the same. It's the unhappy families that are interesting. You know, you write poems and plays about those. So I guess you hear about the unhappy stuff. But I think that most people, you know, you get home and here are some people you haven't seen in a while, you know, by and large. And, you know, good to get back with them, good to get in touch with them. I don't know. I just, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, simply because it's, you know, it just seems like a lot. I don't know. It just always seemed like a lot of fun. When we were kids, you know, that was the occasion during the year, you know, when you polished up the silver and you know, and of course there was the kids' table and the adults' table. And when you graduated to the adults' table, that was a big deal. And, you know, I don't know. I Thanksgiving is one of my favorites, I think. And so we're looking forward to Thanksgiving. It's not that hard, I think, if you focus on your family, if you focus a little bit closer to home. As I say, the political scene is pretty difficult, maybe a little more challenging to find places where, you know, you're going to be grateful about that. But local, you know, I mean, focus on your family, right? I mean, how's everybody doing? And, you know, are we happy and healthy? And pretty much, yeah. You know, we all got our aches and pains. We all got our grumps and groans. But, you know, in general, I'm pretty happy that we have an occasion to, you know, just sort of reflect and say, hey, how things are going. I want to tell you a story. You know, everyone, we do, you know, every once in a while, you kind of wonder, jeepers, is anybody listening to this thing? I do wonder that from time to time. But then my dad's down in Florida right now. And in Naples, Florida, Gordon Food Service, which is a local company here, has opened a location. They're a restaurant supply, you know, sort of thing. Not a Sam's Club type operation. You know, it's a restaurant. Like if you're running a restaurant, okay, and you went, if you rented an empty space, put it, except for the stoves, if you rented like an empty space, if you had, you know, just four walls, right, and you said, I think I'll do a restaurant. Well, you could go into Gordon Food Service, right, if you had enough shopping carts, and you could go out and you'd be ready to go. I mean, they have everything from avocados to aprons in this place. So anyway, they opened one of these down in Naples, Florida. My dad's a talker, and so he goes in, he starts talking. And eventually the general manager, who's sort of transplanted down there for you know, for his indentured servitude, you know, to get that thing up and running before they get the local guy in charge. So, yeah, asked my dad his name, and, you know, understand, I talk to my dad probably, I don't know, at least twice a week, just, you know, just pick up the phone. And so anyway, asked his name, well, Lou Carrier, da-da-da, and the manager, he goes, oh, no kidding, well, we have this show in Grand Rapids, the David Carrier. And I was like, holy cats. So somebody actually does listen. That's amazing. And of course, my dad, you know, he plays the Babe in the Woods. Oh, Grand Rapids. Like, never heard of Grand Rapids. And eventually they get around to the fact that it's my dad and yak and yak. So to the transplanted Naples Grand manager of Gordon Food Service, thanks for listening. Hopefully you're not alone. Okay, so I'm just checking off the checklist. Remember to be grateful for Thanksgiving, and you know, here's the thing too, in the you know, the folks that we deal with, the folks that I get to deal with on a daily basis, you know, are the folks. Well, listen, if you're listening now, you're either on your way to church or, you know, like that, and you know, the fact of the matter is that if you live your life according to your values, You know, the things that you think are important, the things that you know are important, looking out for other people and all the rest of it. You know, I'd be really surprised if you don't have a lot to be grateful for, because it just seems to work that way. I mean, we've worked with, 11,000 families over the years. I mean, really, we're up at those kind of numbers. And it's a pattern. You know, if you do the things that you know are right, things tend to work out for you. You tend to have things to be grateful for if people can be grateful for you. Make people grateful that you're there. You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Big parade with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So give us a shout, why don't you? 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. And we'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. You know, one of the things that has kind of come up recently, we're going to be spend a little more time on it, if you wanna, is the whole Social Security claiming strategies. We've got a report that was a peer-reviewed report that was put out in Financial Planner Journal. It's a and basically what it does is intellectual article or a scholarly article on exactly how this stuff works. And that's available to you if you want to just give us a call and ask for a copy of the Social Security report. But the thing is, there are ways to make it work. There are ways to make the to leverage how you claim Social Security. See, it's like any other government system. It's like taxes. It's like the Medicaid. It's like anything else you care to name where the government's involved. Things get screwy, okay, and a consequence of things getting screwy means that sometimes you wind up worse off, which means that sometimes you wind up better off, which means that if you don't know what... You know, you remember that old saying about if you're playing poker, right? You're at the pool... You're at the poker table, right, playing poker. If you don't know who the dummy is... Right. If you don't know who the mark is, then you're the mark, right? Because there's always one guy at the poker table who's going to get cleaned, and if you don't know who it is, it's you. You know, it's the same way in the criminal law. You know, if you don't know who the stool, you know, if you don't know who's getting set up, you're the one getting set up. Okay, and it's the same way with all of this stuff. If you just kind of go along, right? And just assume, well, you know, everything's working out okay, everything's okay. You're getting the short end of the stick. Now, you may say, well, I'm happy with the short end of the stick. Well, okay. I mean, if you're happy with the short end of the stick, far be it from me to tell you, you know, you should get better than that. But it does seem to me that there are ways in any government system to do it better, you know. Like, and it's most obvious, I think, with taxes. Well, this is 2013, right? And we've had taxes since 1913. So that's 100 years of federal income tax. You know, I mean, we've had taxes for forever, I suppose, but death and taxes, right? But we've had the federal income tax since 1913. And for 100 years, there's been an ongoing battle between the federal government that wants to take your money and taxpayers who would like to pay less without winding up in jail. Are you with me on this? I mean, there are ways to pay less. There are ways to pay less taxes, right? Just don't pay, or lie on the return, or commit fraud. I mean, there are ways to pay less taxes, which will have severe consequences, negative consequences. Well, we don't want those, but there are ways working within the tax code to minimize your taxes. Okay, and if you're not working to minimize your taxes, you can be pretty sure that you're paying pretty much the most taxes possible. Does that make sense? And You know, I have the, you know, as we say in the thing, you know, two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. Well, the second law degree is my Master of Laws in Taxation degree, which I did get from Georgetown University while I was on active duty. worked at the Pentagon by day, and at night I was a tax attorney at Georgetown University. You know, student, anyway. Well, the whole point of the tax degree is to figure out how to minimize the taxes that people with tons of money and businesses with tons of money pay. Okay? I mean, it's all about saving tons of money for people with tons of money. That's what tax planning is all about. Well, you know, if you think about it like that, okay, and is it wrong not to pay the most taxes? Is that like a bad thing not to pay the most? I don't think it's a bad thing not to pay the most taxes. I mean, if they're the ones who set up the tax code, and it's a code because you have to decode it, right? But they're the ones who set it up. If I set up my operations this way, then they get more money. If I set them up that way, they get less money, right? Well, I didn't make the rules. I'm just trying to live with them, okay? So with the tax law, it's pretty obvious, I think, that I think it's pretty obvious that planning ahead is just a good common sense thing to do, right? Making sure that you don't pay more in taxes. I mean, we all take the home mortgage interest deduction, right? It's a very obvious one. You have people in up in arms if you took it away, which is why they never have. And it's the same way with Social Security. It's the same way with this nursing home stuff. With Social Security, you think, well, how simple is that? I retire at 65, I get a check. Done. Well, no, not really. Don't go to the Social Security office and try this, okay? Get the report, go through it, figure out if this works for you. But in general, the idea is you have two spouses, right? So one spouse claims their Social Security. They go in, they say, okay, I want my pension, right? When they claim their pension, now the other spouse is entitled to half of that as the spousal share. Now, the other spouse has a work record as well, okay? But we don't claim on the spouse's work record. Instead, we let that one ride, okay? Because the older you are when you retire, the larger the pension benefit, the larger the Social Security benefit. So what the first one does is retires, right, claims their benefit, and then suspends it and says, oh, well, I'm going back to work. Don't pay me my money. But in the meantime, the other one has claimed their benefit, so now they're getting the check based on the first one's work record. We'll get into more about how this works when we get back. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I was waiting for some singing to start there, but not this time. Anyway, you're listening to the David Carrier Show. And if you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, trusts, or probate, if you're wondering how do we handle the high cost of long-term care, if you have a question about real estate or business law, now's the time to give us a call at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. Now, if you signed up for one of our free life plan workshops on Black Friday or the day after Saturday, we've already ordered the pie. So we got pie coming for about 80 people, three workshops, we're freaking around 25 each. we always order for 80 just in case someone wants two slices. Plus, we have to, have a little variety. I mean, how'd you like to get to, all you get is pumpkin, huh? Yeah. Kind of had my heart set on squash or maybe some of that mincemeat stuff, but all you get is pumpkin. Well, we don't ever want to be in that situation. Now, we embrace that situation when it comes to the cookies, okay? It's oatmeal raisin, and if you want a bellyache about not having chocolate chip, take it to the complaint department on the second floor. Well, on the third floor. We have a second floor, so take it to the complaint department on the third floor, which we don't have. So anyway, but... So we're ordering up the pies. Everyone's getting excited about doing the Black Friday workshop, which, of course, we've been yakking about now for quite a while. But it's a fun thing because generally we get families in and all the rest. There are, as I understand, at least there were a few days ago, a couple of seats left at the second one on Friday, and I think a couple left on Saturday. So if you haven't signed up yet, well, you can call us, drop us a line, go to the website davidcarrierlaw.com, and you can sign up right there. Leave us a message, do whatever you want on the website. Love to have you do that. Or you can call 888-463-2843. Just do that anytime you like. The Black Friday workshops are, I don't know, I just have fun with them. I like them. We were talking before the break about Social Security and about the fact that, see, whenever you interact with the government, okay, this is just sort of my basic premise. Whenever you interact with the government or with any system of rules, right, the rules that people have set out, and the government's all about rules, right? It's all about rules. There are better and worse ways to do things. Now, a poker game is all about rules too, isn't it? And what do they say about poker? If you don't know who the chump is, you're the chump. If you don't know who the target is, it's you. Well, it's the same way with when you're dealing with the government, whether it's taxes or long-term care or Social Security. Now, it makes a difference. So one of the claiming strategies, and we've got a, I didn't write it, okay, I have no copyright in it, we'll send you a copy if you'd like, is an article which deals with, it's a scholarly article, actually, it's kind of tough to get through a little bit, but it goes in very minute detail about how some unconventional claiming strategies work. You know, generally what happens, well, you're 65 or full retirement age, which is ratcheting up these days. But you get there, and you say, okay, I'm 65 now. I guess I'm on the, give me my check. Or I'm claiming early, give me my check, whatever. And then some people, of course, they keep it on, they keep working and stuff like that. And there's all, but that's lifestyle choices. The claiming strategy is, the idea here is, you have one spouse who goes in and claims Social Security. Says, okay, I'm signing up for my Social Security now. I'm entitled. I've reached full retirement age, which means that my spouse can get half of mine based on my work record. Okay? Based on my work record, my spouse can now get a pension based on that. And then what happens is the person who claimed first, whose work record we're using, that person defers. That person suspends payment. Okay? They say, nah, yeah, I know I wanted it, but nah, don't pay it to me. Okay? Well, in the meantime, between the time they claimed and set and suspended, they say, I don't want it, right? That's the suspension part. In the meantime, the spouse applies for the spousal benefit. So now they're getting half of what you would have gotten. Are you with me on this? So you claim and suspend. In the meantime, your spouse claims based on your work record. Well, you're both still working. Or you're not working, but you're making pension payments or whatever. Fast forward 5 years. All right. Now you reclaim and your benefit is recalculated not based on when you claimed, but on when you started taking those payments again. So your pension is higher. In the meantime, your spouse has been receiving benefits and now claims on his or her own work record. Okay. In the meantime, you've been getting the Social Security payments and now you're both getting more than you would have gotten before. But in the meantime, you've been getting these other payments based on the spouse has been getting payments based on your work record. It's a little bit complicated. It is. But it can result in significantly more money to you. And now with, all the craziness that's going on, the whole hidden inflation and all the rest of this, it's a time where you need more money. And that's... So, point being, if you want to get a copy of the report, more than happy to send it to you. Okay, you can get it's just be sure that when you when you talk to whoever it is you're talking to at the office, make sure it's the Social Security report you're getting, not the Veterans Pension report. And don't be discouraged if at Social Security, if you just go in and you ask them about it, you're not going to go anywhere. You just have to do it. You just have to say, I'm doing this. You don't have to explain why. You just say that, it's like filing your tax return. You don't have to explain why you're taking, you know, this deduction and that credit and, you know, doing the income this way or that way. So long as it's all legit, so long as you're doing it according to the rules, okay, well, they can't stop you. They're not going to – see, and this is the other thing. This is the other thing. And it comes up, I think, mostly when we're talking with folks at the, you know, who are entitled to VA benefits, and it's like the VA never tells them they're entitled to this stuff, right? You just have to kind of figure it out on your own, or someone else has to tell you, okay? Whether it's the disability pension, the death pension, service-connected disability, all these things. It's not like they're going to come out and try to find you and tell you, hey, you know, you're entitled to this pension. Hey, you know, if you took these deductions, your taxes would be less. Hey, you know, if you claimed your Social Security in this way, you know, your family's going to be better off. Are you with me on this? It's not the government's job to tell you how best to use government services. Does that make sense? You know? And the fact of the matter is that regular folks who live regular lives, not all tied up with the government. See, and this is the thing. If you live your life dependent on the government, okay, you tend to get very good at the rules. You tend to think that, well, that's the way it's done, okay? We've seen this a lot, right? But for regular folks, you know, who you're like, look, I'll pay my taxes. I'm fine with that. I'm just living my life. I'm taking the overtime. I'm raising my kids. I'm doing the right things, doing all this stuff. I don't have time to worry about that. Okay? And that is how you've lived your life. Right? I mean, the government, to whatever extent, you know, maybe it's on the newspaper, but to some extent, you hear about it, but not too much, right? Well, times have changed, okay? When you get into the retirement thing and the Social Security becomes a major part of your income, major part of your security, when we're talking about the Medicaid and long-term care and all the rest of this, you can't do that yourself, and that's why the government kind of steps up, okay? This was the deal that's been made since the New Deal, right? The things that you can't do, we're going to help you out with. Well, if you take the same attitude, which is, I don't need you, okay? Well, excuse me, you do, actually. Now, that attitude of, well, whatever, I'm not going to worry about it, just, you know, whatever you're willing to give me, I'm willing to take. You can't take that attitude with regard to this stuff because things have changed. Because instead of the government being something that's interesting but sort of in the background, okay, those government benefits are now front and center. Not because you've been dependent on the government your whole life. You haven't been. That's how you got to where you are. But you need to shift a little bit. You need to say, look, if I can get an extra $1,000 a month, if I can get an extra $100,000 plus over the next several years, over the rest of my life, because I used an unconventional claiming strategy on my Social Security, is it worth doing that? It seems obvious to me that the answer is yes. But it does require a little different state of mind, you know, a little refocus. Okay? You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, inviting you to a free life plan workshop. We do have a couple seats left on Black Friday and on the following Saturday. We'd love to see you there.
Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, let me say it once again. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary. Ida Rose, I'm home again, Rose. To get the sun back in the sky. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose. About a thousand kisses shine. Ding dong ding, I can hear the chapel bell chime. Ding dong ding, at the least suggestion, I'll pop the question. Light a rose, I'm...
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show, the only talk show on radio where the bumper music is better than the show itself. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. Give us a call, why don't you? 888 463 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-GO-DAVID. Let's get to some of our, got some pretty good emails, you know, some confusion here going on. I like this one. How do you prove you were falsely accused of financial elderly abuse? I take care of a woman who's not blood related, but has taken care of me my whole life, and now since she's older, I help with her bills. I drive her to the store, etc., and her daughter is trying to sue me for elder abuse. Well, here's the thing, and this is just a good rule of thumb. Now, understand, first of all, that financial abuse of the elderly is a big deal. That is a big deal, and there are people out there taking advantage of folks and doing the wrong thing and all the rest of it. There's no question that that's out there. On the other hand, there is a lot of folks just like this, a lot of people, sometimes it's the friendly neighbor, you know, who's been looking out for the person, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is when you're involved in the system, whether you're in Adult Protective Services or probate court or what have you, you're very used to seeing exploitive situations. Can I put it that way? You know, if there's 100 situations out there, 100% of situations, you may see 5% of them where somebody's really sticking it to grandpa, okay, using his Social Security to buy crack or what have you. Okay, that does happen, you know, and that it happens at all is terrible, and it's a real problem. It's a real problem. A few years ago, for example, when someone's in the nursing home on the Medicaid, which describes most everybody who's there, one of the things you have to do on a monthly basis, the family members, typically family members, have to pay over that person's pension and Social Security. Now, there are different rules for married couples and single people and all the rest. But generally, you have what we call a patient pay amount. That's the amount of the person's Social Security or pension that has to be paid to the nursing home. So the patient pay amount. Now, what if they don't pay? Well, if they don't pay, then the nursing home obviously knows because the check didn't show up. And that's pretty obviously elder, you know, what did you use the money for? And this was a while back, years ago, sort of the Attorney General went nuts on, previous Attorney General went nuts on those folks because it was a very easy prosecution, very easy case to make. Did you pay the money or didn't you? Well, if you didn't, where'd the money go? Oh, the casino. Oh, the crack deal, you know, whatever. Okay? It got misappropriated. Very obvious case. And it did happen. I don't know what the percentage was, but it's a fairly low percentage. But it did happen. And that's the kind of case that folks are used to dealing with. You're used to dealing with the exceptions. Okay? Not with the 99% of people who do it right, but the 1% who do it wrong. And false accusations of financial elder abuse are very easy to make, especially in the way that most people go about it. Because it's like, hey, she was like a mother to me. She took care of me. I just take her to the store. She gives me $10, you know, for the gas. I put her money in my checking account because I'm the one writing. She's blind. I'm the one writing the checks, you know, or can't maintain a checkbook. So I've been doing that for her, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if you look at that with the eyes of innocence, it looks innocent. But if you look at it with the eyes of I've seen granddaughters stealing grandpa's money and buying drugs with it, okay, it looks different. Are you with me on this? So when you're at the point of being accused falsely, now you've got to scramble back and figure out, get all those records together and blah, blah, blah. Good luck proving the negative. Because most of the time the way this stuff works is it's cash. It's like, yeah, I'm buying it. Nah, 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 nah. You know, who could think I was doing anything wrong? I mean, that is a mindset of innocent people. Is why would anybody think I was doing something wrong? Well, the problem with that mindset is if it doesn't matter whether you're doing something wrong, it's darn tough to prove that you weren't doing it wrong if you don't have any proof that you were doing it correctly. Are you with me on this? Okay, so what you want to do is if you are helping out a neighbor or a loved one or mom or dad, you know, either way, just keep very good records. Insist on a check. No, mom, you got to write the check. Here, I'll write it for you. You sign it. Okay? Keep shoebox. I mean, and we have a lot of folks who very smart folks who do this. Keep the shoebox full of receipts. All right, they've got receipts from, you know, 18 diggity two, you know, whatever. Keep the receipts. Keep the be able to maintain it. I know it may be more convenient to put all the money together. It may be more convenient to do it in cash. Don't, because if and when somebody from and sometimes I was about to say from evil intent, but you know, I don't know that it isn't most of the time that people are doing this from good intent. They don't know what's going on. Okay, they're not aware of the situation. Then all of a sudden, it looks like all mom's money is gone. What happened? You know, oops. Well, if you've got all the records, then you can show, hey, look, this is what happened. Is it more of a hassle? Well, of course it's more of a hassle. Yeah, it is. But is it worth doing? Absolutely, it's worth doing. Okay, here's a similar question. How long does it take for a lawyer to request an accounting for court? I recently became power of attorney for my mom. We had to revoke her previous POA. She claims the other person mismanaged her funds. I hired an attorney to inform him by mail and submit all my mother's documents, but he failed to comply. So mom's competent, right? She had somebody else as her, everyone says POA, but power of attorney. But somebody who's acting for you is not your power of attorney. That's the document where you name your, get this, attorney in fact. Okay? A person who operates for you under your healthcare power of attorney is called your patient advocate. And the person who acts for you under your financial power of attorney is called your attorney in fact. Now, I expect to have to say that another 10,000 times before next year, but that's okay. I'm willing to do it. All right, just don't call somebody the, you know, oh, yeah, I'm power of attorney for your mom. No, your attorney, in fact, your patient advocate for your mom. Okay, anyway, that's my pet peeve. So this guy was mismanaging the funds, and now we've demanded an accounting. Under the current law, you have to sign off. When you sign off saying that you will be that you'll be attorney, in fact, for somebody, you have to say, and I understand that I have to keep records, and I understand that I have to account for what I've been doing, which is a new thing. The requirement's been there for just a little bit more than a year, but it's a great thing. It's very important. So when you demand the prior attorney, in fact, to give you an accounting, right, well, you're not in court yet. Do you see? And so the next step is to bring an action in the court to force the accounting. Okay, and how long does that take? Well, that's mostly a function of the attorney's schedule, you know, really. But I'll tell you what, once you're in court, okay, once it gets to court and you have to give the accounting, the judge maybe give 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, but I've seen it where if it was a very obvious case of misappropriation of funds, you know, the judge hits that secret, get the deputies in here button, and, you know, that person go off to the hooscow right away. I mean, I've seen that happen, too. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Love to see you at one of our free life plan workshops. Remember, we've got a couple of seats left on Saturday and Black Friday.
Been listening to The David Carrier Show, a lively discussion addressing your questions and concerns, but not legal advice. There is a big difference. So when making decisions that affect your family, your property, or yourself, the best advice is to seek good advice specific to your unique needs. If you missed any of today's show or would like additional information about the law offices of David Carrier, please visit davidcarrierlaw.com.